In free nations, the job of protecting the creators of songs has been undertaken by the writers themselves through voluntary associations. In England, the Performing Rights Society. In France, its Authors and Composers Society. And in America, the organization I have the honor of representing today, the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, affectionately known to its more than 2,000 members as ASCAP. We in ASCAP owe to Stephen Foster, through the tragedy of his personal life, the fundamental idea of our society, and the determination never to let our Irving Berlins or George Gershwins suffer Stephen's fate. Would that we had been in existence in his day. But to return to your beautiful Swanee River, which I understand you have forgiven Stephen for misspelling. I like so much what your booklet says about it. The real Swanee River does not rise in any part of Georgia. It rises in the highest mountains of the human heart. It does not flow through the swampy regions of Florida, but through the pleasant, sunny lanes of memory. And now, Governor Warren, and members of the commission, you have given me a great privilege to visit the Swanee River and to stand with you on its banks almost exactly 100 years after Stephen Foster made it a universal symbol.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this time is a pleasure to introduce one of Florida's better-known soprano soloists. Accompanied by an ensemble from Florida State University, Miss Gloria Villar of Pensacola.
Thank you.
Wonderful Art. And now to present Miss Villar with some lovely flowers which have been sent to her, we have Miss Carol Lee Carroll, who was represented as Jeannie by the artist John Chandler Christie in a famous painting. Miss Carroll is from New York, and she will deliver the flowers. Thank you, Miss Carroll. Now, ladies and gentlemen, His Excellency Fuller Warren, the Governor of Florida.
Dear friends and gentle hearts, all Florida joins today in paying tribute to one of America's greatest composers. Today, with the dedication of this beautiful shrine, we honor the memory of Stephen Collins Foster. More than any geographer, Stephen Foster made our Suwannee River a familiar name to the entire civilized world. With his lyrical pen, he caught and expressed the yearning of all mankind for a life in a land in which there is no strife, no pain, no sorrow, no tears. What single phrase, I ask, evokes more tender thoughts of such an earthly paradise than way down upon the Suwannee River? Stephen Foster, if you please, was a Yankee. But here, in the heart of the Southland, we revere him as one of our own. Northerners, as they sing his songs, grow nostalgic for tinkling banjos, cotton field cabins, and dancing pickaninny. Under the magic spell of Foster's music, Northerners feel a warm surge of kinship with our brothers of the South. We Floridians, who belatedly adopted Foster's Suwannee River as our own state song, regret that we cannot claim the immortal bard as our native son. The South claims him only in a poetical sense, and the North can claim him only in a historical sense. For Stephen Foster truly was America's troubadour to the world. As a musician and poet, Foster was an ambassador of peace, understanding, and goodwill among all peoples and all races. Like America itself, the life of Stephen Foster is a study in contrast. He won enduring fame for his songs in the South, songs of the South. Yet he was a Northerner. He made the Suwannee River world famous. Yet there are some authorities who insist he never saw the river, which rolls gently along, only a few hundred feet from where I stand. Many of Foster's melodies sing with haunting tenderness of family and home. Yet he died homeless and alone in a New York hospital charity ward. His talent has made millions of dollars for music publishers. Yet his pockets contained only 38 cents when his soul slipped away from his wasted body. In the 20 years of his composing career, Foster wrote at least 200 songs, but we remember him for little more than a dozen. Suwannee River is one of the best examples of his art, and one which only true genius could have created. In all probability, it is the most widely known and best loved song of all time. It has been translated into every European tongue and into many Asiatic and African languages. It has been sung by millions the world over. Many, many years ago, it passed from the category of mere written song into the realm of folk music. Because of this, I consider it relatively unimportant whether Foster did or did not see the Suwannee River before he wrote the song. But those interested in academic accuracy might like to hear the most commonly accepted version about its origin. The story goes that Foster, when he was nearing the age of 24, got the idea for a new song to be submitted to the noted minstrel man, Edward P. Christie. The new song had been on his mind for several days when he dropped into the Pittsburgh office of his brother, Morrison Foster, to ask his advice. "Can you think of a southern river with a two-syllable name?" Stephen inquired. Those of you who are familiar with the geography or cartography of the southern states know that we have very few rivers with two-syllable names. Most of them are multisyllable, stemming from the Indian, like Chattahoochee, Withlacoochee, Catawba, or Tombigbee. Foster's brother, with an atlas before him, could find only one, the P.D. River, which flows through North and South Carolina. But Stephen Foster had already considered and rejected the P.D. River. In fact, the original manuscript of the lyric underscores Foster's doubts about the P.D. He spelled it as one word and with an E lacking. What Foster wanted, of course, was a mellifluent name suggestive of the mood of his muse to fit the measure. As Morrison and Stephen Foster studied the map together, Stephen's eyes suddenly lit upon a little river in Florida, the Suwannee. It mattered not that the river rose in the Okefenokee Swamp in Charlton County, Georgia, or that it flowed for most of its 250-mile length through Florida, southward to the Gulf of Mexico. Stephen Foster's mind immediately contracted the syllable Suwannee into the slurred soft Swanee. "That's it," Stephen exclaimed to his brother. "That's just what I wanted." And he hurried off to revise his manuscript, a manuscript which preserves in Foster's own handwriting the substitution of the Suwannee for the P.D. When Foster offered this song to Christie, the burnt cork minstrel liked it so well, he wanted to introduce it as one of his own compositions. So Foster sold Christie the right to sing it as his own before it was ever published, which was not until 1851. It didn't become known until years later that Foster had written the song, which was extraordinarily popular from its first performance. Although it is titled "Old Folks at Home," most everybody knows it as "Suwannee River." While most Stephen Foster authorities say he never came to Florida, local historians maintain he visited the scene of his inspiration around 1860, and the writer of an article published in 1876 in a Tallahassee newspaper described a visit by Foster to the Florida capital in 1860. But, as I have observed, it appears of little import to us today whether Foster did or did not see the Suwannee River, either before or after he wrote the song. The important thing today is that Florida honors the composer of our state song, just as Kentucky has honored Foster for his My Old Kentucky Home, which is the state song of the Bluegrass Commonwealth. As governor of Florida, I invite all within the sound of my voice to come to Florida and see with your own eyes the attractions of the Suwannee River. It is a narrow, winding stream, all but a few miles of its course, lying in Florida. Not far from this ceremony, the Suwannee tumbles over rocky shoals between high limestone banks, which are topped with thickets of second-growth timber. Now, as autumn descends on this section of Florida, the underbrush along the Suwannee begins to undergo a subtle alchemy. Dark green has turned to pale green, and here and there, yellow peeps through. In a few more weeks, the green and yellow will change into gold and red and dusky brown. In this dry season, the Suwannee is as clear as any spring-fed mountain stream. And in the shaded pools, big bass, silvery sunfish, and gun-blue catfish nose among the reeds and shiny pebbles. A few miles to the south, along the banks of this fabled river, deer still slip like silent ghosts through the moss-hung live oak, magnolia, and cypress. Panther, bear, and wildcats still have their lairs in the forest fastness. The gobble of wild turkeys or the whir of startled quail often breaks the soft serenity. Even today, the hunter may glimpse an alligator sunning itself along a log. It was much like this before and during the war between the states. About all that is gone are the great cotton and tobacco plantations which once spread across the Suwannee Valley. In the old days, white porticoed mansions dominated the hills along the river. Below them huddled the weather-beaten, clabbered cabins. Small, wood-burning steamers of the Mississippi stern-wheel type plied the lower stretches of the Suwannee, carrying baled cotton, tobacco, peanuts, naval stores, and lumber from the interior down to the high-masted, ocean-going schooners anchored at the river's mouth. It was a social and economic scene that lives only in history and dim recollection and in the songs of Stephen Foster. We in Florida have been tardy in honoring Foster's memory. Today, we make amends. In time, this magnificent building and memorial park will become a shrine for lovers of Fosteriana. Eventually, the state of Florida hopes to build a 200-foot carillon, and already the school children of this state are planning to contribute pennies, nickels, and dimes for a statue of the composer. Dear friends and gentle hearts, that was my greeting to you who are gathered here today and to the millions who will hear this program over the radio. It was not an original greeting. Those were the words scribbled on a tattered tag of paper found in Foster's pocket along with the 38 cents when he was admitted to New York's Bellevue Hospital. The world likes to think, and it may well be, that they form the basis for another tender and beautiful ballad which Foster hoped to write. Sporadic attempts have been made by lesser composers to develop that nostalgic phrase. Dear friends and gentle hearts, into an unforgettable song. But with all due credit to their attempts, they have failed. If any man ever does succeed in recapturing the soul of Stephen Foster in lyric and melody, I think that he will do it here. Here, in this peaceful edifice, erected in memory of Stephen Foster, surrounded by tangible reminders of the immortal Foster, and on the banks of Foster's stream of dreams, the Suwannee River. I thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 100 voices of the Florida A&M College Choir.
Thank you. Do da, do da.